and friend and husband who have endured with such marvelous loyalty this terrible malady. And to be a little more intimate still, I would like to pay a tribute to Lois, my wife. She saw me through, even down into the pit, and out. And she contributed her part in great measure during the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous, when the going was very, very hard, and none knew that it could, but what it might not succeed. Her faith never wavered. And to me, she is a symbol of the many women who sit here who have since done likewise. Very special tribute to them and to her. Then, too, how could one miss saying a great deal about this warm hospitality of you Southern folk? There is nothing like it in the world anywhere. And to those who have worked so hard to make these arrangements, and to the many that have shown us, Lois and me, their great love and affection, we wish to give our very special thanks. Speaking of Southern hospitality, reminds me of one of the greatest stories ever to come out of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I saw the beginning of that story while enjoying the hospitality of an AA over in Shelby, North Carolina. It was some 6 years ago. We had made our start. We were getting on firmer ground here and there, but nothing was too certain. And one day, our central office in New York, which is merely a service center where we receive inquiries and one thing or another, one day, that letter, that office received a letter from a man who was an inmate of the Lexington place for drug addicts. And he went on to tell us in the letter how he had been a physician, had got onto alcohol, and then onto morphine. And that while there in the asylum, someone had written him about AA, and he had been reading this AA book of ours, which is our book of experience. And he said, of course, I used to be an alcoholic, but now I'm an addict of some 12 years standing. And you know how hopeless that is. But I do see hope for me in this philosophy of yours. And when I get out of here, I'm certainly going to try it. Well, subsequently, our office struck up a correspondence with him as he returned home to that little southern hamlet. And he told us in his quiet way of his various difficulties he'd had, but never in any complaining sense. And the girls in the office would write him occasional letters of encouragement, and little by little, he began to describe the formation of an AA group in Shelby. By the way, one of the earliest groups that we have formed in the mail, just through mail contact. Well, there was always a great thrill to all of us in the office. Meanwhile, other southern centers had started. Atlanta, Jacksonville, became larger places. The groups had become larger. And a demand had arisen that I get down among the southerners and pay my respects and see if I couldn't peddle a little of the older AA experience down there. Well, you see, AA began to look like a success at that time. And as everyone knows, success is a heady wine. And I fear that I was a little bit on the big shot side. And I spent some little time debating with the folks in the office whether I really would stop off at Shelby. I mean, you know, that chap there was a nice chap, and he'd done a nice job, but I really should get where I could get to a lot of people. And after some debating with myself, I finally grudgingly conceded that I would stop off there at Shelby. Well, I alighted from the train, and I saw three men approaching me down the platform. Two of them I spotted as souses right off the bat. You couldn't mistake it. They were sober, understand. The third one, well, I wondered who he was. And as he drew near, I saw some lines in his face that I didn't quite place. You know, we folk know each other very well. And as he drew nearer, I saw that his lips were marked. And I learned later, in the agony of his dope hangovers, he had chewed them. And he turned out to be a delightful, soft-spoken little man who I shall call Dr. Tom. Well, we got in the car and drove from Kings Mountain over to Shelby. And we were set down at the door of one of your delightful ancestral homes. And we went inside, and there I met Tom's mother, and a wife of 2 years, and a child. And you could feel the atmosphere of that home. The meal came and went, and from an AA point of view, it was a most unusual meal. I found that Tom was rather reluctant to talk about what he had done in Shelby, so there wasn't much AA shop talk at the table, practically unheard of elsewhere. And I wondered myself if dope had a humbling effect. If so, I think that some of us alcoholics should have taken more of it. At any rate, pleasantly meeting time came. And we got down there. And the meeting place was right under the hotel, right next to the barber shop. Very public. And I said, well, now, for a small town, that's really going some. And, yes, even over the door, here were two letters, AA. And I got in there, and here was the usual gay crowd. And then the meeting started. Well, now, up in New York... Incidentally, I'm not from New York, so I can say what I'm going to say with impunity. I'm a Vermonter, and therefore one of the damnedest of Yankees. But there is a saying, you know, that New York is not in America. So that our group there is very cosmopolitan. And we have vast numbers of what you might call stumble bums, and we have a great many sophisticated, very wise people there. Or we used to until AA tamed them down. In those days, we used to have to rather pussyfoot in New York on the subject of God, lest we scare away some of the intellectuals. So when I got to Shelby, and there was a great long invocation, and a choir girl, I believe, got up and sang a hymn, well, it was reminiscent.